future, choose AmeriCorps.
Hey, it's Mike Rowan. If I have a choice, I like to do business with companies that actually stand for something. That's why I switch from Verizon to Pure Talk. No offense to Verizon, I'm sure they stand for something. I just don't know what it is. Pure Talk, on the other hand, is a veteran-owned company that supports our military in a big way, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I also appreciate unlimited talk and text and plenty of data for half the cost of the big guys, and I do like being on America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month, but what I really appreciate is no contract, no cancellation fees, and Pure Talk's commitment to handle all their customer service in this country. I saw it for myself. I went to Georgia, I got a tour of their headquarters, I met their CEO, and I talked to the same customer service folks that you'll talk to when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Switch today and save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Pure Talk. A wireless company that actually stands for something.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Federal Reserve Board announced it's holding interest rates steady as it watches the impact of President Trump's tariffs on the economy. The president has pushed for lower interest rates. Fed Chair Jerome Powell says the overall economy remains resilient.
Changes to government policies continue to evolve, and their effects on the economy remain uncertain. Higher tariffs have begun to show through more clearly to prices of some goods, but their overall effects on economic activity and inflation remain to be seen.
Two members of the board appointed by President Trump dissented. Former Vice President and presidential candidate Kamala Harris announcing she will not run for California's governor. Harris says she will support the power of the people to fight for freedoms. In Gaza, famine conditions getting worse. More than three dozen were killed today while seeking aid in northern Gaza. U.S. officials confirming that Special Envoy Steve Witkoff will travel to Israel tomorrow to meet with Israel's Prime Minister and officials on the next steps for Gaza. This is ABC News. A mistaken switch in labeling has prompted a recall of several popular alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks.
High Noon is recalling its 12-pack of popular vodka seltzer drinks because some of the cans were found to be mislabeled as Celsius energy drinks, and consumption may result in unintentional alcohol intake, according to the FDA. If somebody thinks they're drinking an energy drink, but they're actually having a vodka seltzer drink. The company says nobody has reported getting ill or having adverse events because of the mix-up. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Jury deliberations continue in Colorado in the murder trial of a dentist accused of killing his wife by poisoning her protein shakes. In Nebraska, a father and his two daughters were killed in a large explosion today at Horizon Biofuels in Fremont, about 40 miles outside Omaha. The plant makes fuel pellets and animal bedding. The cause of the explosion remains under investigation. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Do Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keep coming back? Tremfya, guselkumab, may help, with rapid remission achieved at 12 weeks and lasting clinical remission at 1 year. Some even saw visible improvement of their intestinal lining at 12 weeks and 1 year. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active Crohn's disease and adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections and liver problems may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Healing is possible with Tremfya. Approximately 3 out of 10 patients were in endoscopic remission at 1 year, based on areas visualized on colonoscopy, which may not represent the deeper bowel layer or entire GI tract. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. At the Capitol, state lawmakers say a bill awaiting action by Governor Tony Evers will help Wisconsin residents working in the gig economy, making it possible for them to obtain employee benefits. Republican Senator Julian Bradley says he's not concerned that Evers has yet to sign the bill, which passed both chambers with bipartisan support.
I hope that he's being deliberative, just like we consider ourselves to be deliberative in the Senate. The
measure aims to provide access to portable benefits for people working in the app-based delivery and transportation industries, but who don't work enough hours to get them. Evers' office didn't respond to a request on whether he'll sign the bill. Parents in Sun Prairie want the school district's administration to resign after the arrest of a school dean.
30-year-old Robert Gilkey Meisegeyer was charged in Dane County Monday with 2 counts of child sexual exploitation and 13 counts of possession of child porn. He served as dean of students at Sun Prairie West High, where prosecutors say he was collecting photos of underage girls and offering alcohol to those who gave him photos. Parents and students say complaints about Gilkey Meisengeyer and others went ignored and were never reported to police. They presented a petition to the school board Monday night, signed by hundreds of students and parents. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin firefighters are headed to the western U.S. and Canada to assist with wildfires.
Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources fire control staff will help combat wildfires and assist with suppression and protection. 3 fire engines are currently in Oregon, another is in Northern California, and 6 DNR staff are in Manitoba, Canada. The Wisconsin firefighters and equipment will be on assignment for 2 weeks or until fire severity subsides. So far in 2025, Wisconsin has sent personnel to over 65 out-of-state fire assignments. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a little hazy from smoke and lows in the upper 50s. And it still could be a touch hazy with sun tomorrow. Nice day though, highs in the upper 70s. And it stays nice on Friday, more sun and upper 70s. Looking for a great place to live, shop, stay, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now it's 80.
Produced by Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello and welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Always great to have you join us for the conversation. And we have a lot of topics and a lot of ground to cover here on today's program. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on the show in segment two, we're going to hear from the manager of archives and history at John Deere and author of the book Tractor Wars, John Deere, Henry Ford, International Harvester, and the Birth of Modern Agriculture. Neil Dahlstrom will join us for that conversation. In segment three, we're going to catch up with Missouri Farm Bureau President Garrett Hawkins to discuss a number of topics, including the latest news surrounding the Grain Belt Express. And then we're going to close the show in segment four, and we're going to discuss 30 years of innovation and commitment to agriculture from Peterson Farms Seed as they're celebrating 30 years in 2025. Founder Carl Peterson will join us coming up later on in the program. Helping us get things started, though, a lot of talk in the ag news cycle here about the reorganization announcement from USDA. We're going to discuss what this could mean. Joining us now, former Farm Production and Conservation Undersecretary for USDA, Robert Bonney. Robert, welcome back to AOA. It's good to hear from you again. Hope all is well.
Hey, it's good to be back with you.
I'd love just to start your perspective from, you know, being involved in the USDA here under the Biden administration, seeing this reorganization announcement, the talk of trying to relocate workers for USDA to various hubs around the country. What's your thoughts on these reorganization plans, Robert?
I'm very concerned. I mean, we've already seen in the first 6 months of this administration, we've seen 15,000 people leave USDA, and that's been a big hit. A lot of those folks are young people just coming to USDA. We've also lost a lot of senior people. And I'm concerned with this reorganization that we're going to lose more people. And in particular, our senior leadership in Washington, these are people, a lot of these people, you know, grew up on farms and ranches, and they've dedicated their careers to agriculture. I'm concerned that a lot of those folks are going to leave. And I think this reorganization plan a little bit looks like a a solution in search of a problem. And I think we ought to take our time. We ought to make sure that we reach out to farmers and ranchers and other folks in the agricultural community to make sure we get this right.
Well, I know that the current administration, you know, a lot of their talk is that this is going to put USDA officials closer to farmers and get them out of the D.C. beltway and out across rural America. But it sounds like from your perspective, more of the concern is that we would lose some of these, you know, long trusted, long tenured folks who've been part of USDA.
Yeah, and I actually believe this will actually make it more difficult for agriculture and forestry and other groups that care about USDA to interact with USDA. Remember, USDA right now has thousands of offices. We have thousands of offices in counties across the country. So we already have a lot of interaction with farmers and ranchers. You know, a lot of farm groups and ranching and forestry groups that come to D.C. to meet with senior leadership. When I was at USDA, a lot of folks come to me, then they go to different agencies to be able to talk to leadership there. We're not going to disperse all those people out on the field. It's going to be very difficult for farm groups to interact with those folks. It's going to create a disconnect between leadership and the folks in the agencies. I think it'll make USDA far less efficient. And I think the notion that, you know, we're going to move people out into the field, no, and that'll make them easier to get to. No, it'll make them harder to get to, because now farmers are going to have to, or farm groups are going to have to visit lots of different hub offices. So I think this does exactly the opposite of what the administration's talking about.
We're talking with Robert Bonney, former Farm Production and Conservation Undersecretary at USDA. Is there one segment of the agency from your experience, and you look at this whole plan, is there maybe one segment over another that you feel could be impacted more than others potentially?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say a couple things. One, we know that during the first Trump administration, we lost a lot of our top researchers when they moved the offices out of Washington, D.C. I'm concerned about the impacts of those folks. Remember, those folks create a lot of the innovations and tools that farmers and ranchers can use to improve productivity and deal with pests and all kinds of things. I'm also concerned a lot about the Forest Service. Now, the Forest Service is involved, of course, in disaster response, not only wildfires, but other disasters. And the way they are reorganizing USDA, I think, is going to create significant challenges for the way we respond to wildfires. You're going to do away with the Forest Service regional offices and replace these with these five hubs. I don't think it works well for the Forest Service. I think the most important thing is that let's take our time here. Let's measure twice. Let's cut once. Let's actually talk to farm groups. Let's talk to nutrition groups. Let's talk to the forestry groups. And let's do this in a way that works for agriculture and forestry. And everyone agrees that we can improve government service. That, of course, everyone agrees to. And we all work on it when we're in the administration. But let's actually listen to our stakeholders. Let's talk to them. Let's open up the books and do this in a way that works for everybody.
And I know there's been a lot of talk about funding and appropriations for USDA, and a lot of movement of various pools of money have kind of been announced around and things of that nature. Are you concerned about how some of that is being rerouted, changed, tweaked, whatever term you want to use, Robert?
Yeah, I'm really concerned about it. I'm concerned about the uncertainty we create in farm country when we either cancel contracts, threaten to cancel contracts, take grants away. People have made investment decisions. They've planned their operations based on whether it's conservation assistance or other programs. So I am concerned about that. And I think if we want a more efficient USDA, again, there's some things we can do. But I do think that the uncertainty we've created around the ability of USDA to continue to serve farmers and ranchers is a serious problem. And I guess reorganization potentially makes it worse.
Final minute, anything you would reiterate to folks listening in? What would you tell producers? What can they do to make their voice heard?
You know, the voice of producers in Washington is you have a lot of power, and folks ought to reach out to their members of Congress. that I ask them to get involved, to ask questions. And honestly, we should have let's have a series of meetings. Let's have public meetings. Let's have public comment. Let's let those farm groups come in and explain how to make USDA work even better for them. And I think, again, let's take our time to make sure any reorganization we do, we get it right.
Former Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA and the Biden administration, Robert Bonney, good to talk with you again, sir. Thanks for joining us on AOA. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Coming up next here on the program, we're going to segue over to discussing Tractor Wars, the book John Deere, Henry Ford, International Harvester, and the Birth of Modern Agriculture. Author of the book, he's also manager of archives and history at John Deere, Neil Dahlstrom, will join us for a conversation coming up next here on AOA Agriculture of America.
What's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886. And tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome back to AOA Agriculture of America. As we continue here today, we want to talk about a new book that the Wall Street Journal called A Superb History of the Tractor and This Long-Forgotten Period of Capitalism in U.S. Agriculture. The book is called Tractor Wars, John Deere, Henry Ford, International Harvester, and the Birth of Modern Agriculture. It was released back in May. Joining us to tell us more about it, he's the author of the book and also manager of archives and history at John Deere. Neil Dahlstrom is with us here today. Neil, it's good to talk with you, sir. Hope all is well.
I'm excited to be here. Things are great.
Well, I'm very curious to learn about this book and kind of the story behind this time period, you know, back how many years ago, decades ago. I mean, what's the real story here behind John Deere, Henry Ford, and the International Harvester battle amid what were the American Tractor Wars? Can you set this up for us?
Yeah, it's really a story that starts in the early 20th century. It's the transition from steam to gasoline to kerosene and kind of the evolution from these big, what they called prairie tractors, to the small tractor that we think of maybe like a general purpose tractor in the 20s or 30s for the average size farm, which was maybe 50 acres at most in the 1910s and 1920s. So it's that evolution. In my mind, it's very much a technology adoption story. It's branding, it's marketing, it's boardroom battles, it's all the intrigue that you want from a story. And the juxtaposition that this is an ag story, I just found really interesting.
Well, thinking about this history, you know, back in the early 1900s, I mean, what did it take to bring the tractor that we know and love today? I mean, you know, what did it take to really bring that to farmers, Neil?
Yeah, it was a lot of, it's kind of this mix of entrepreneurs who thought, okay, well, I own an automobile, so building a farm tractor is going to be really easy, to big companies like International Harvester, to people like Henry Ford. Ironically, I didn't think John Deere was going to be a part of the book when I started working on it. Because I knew John Deere was kind of a small player early on in the tractor space. But at one point, over a 10-year period, the industry grows from maybe 8 or 9 companies building tractors to over 160. And so it kind of explodes, but no one's quite sure what to build, how to repair it, how to service it. And it's just kind of a slow grind of introducing the tractor.
You know, and we think about where things are today and how big of a global leader that John Deere is and all of the other, you know, ag companies who followed suit and you know, started building tractors and all the options we have today in 2025. But I mean, you know, back then it's crazy to think about, to your point, that John Deere wasn't really a big player initially in this time frame, Neil.
Yeah, I've been kind of plagued my entire career by the question of why was John Deere late getting into the tractor business? And I would always say, well, 1918 felt really early to me, even knowing there were some companies who were there first, right? But Deere started development in 1912. The industry production was 11,000 machines. So it was a small kind of business, but it took 7 years for John Deere to figure out what they wanted to build and what customers wanted. And remember, this is a transition from horses to tractors. And not only do you have to transition to mechanical horsepower, but now all your implements need to be redesigned. So it's a pretty massive investment for a farmer to convert to a farm tractor. And John Deere was there in the beginning, just not in the volumes necessarily that maybe an International Harvester and then Henry Ford, who kind of burst onto the scene and just took over.
We are having a conversation with Neil Dahlstrom. He's the author of Tractor Wars and the manager of archives and history at John Deere. And, you know, thinking about this, what would have happened, say, had Henry Ford continued building tractors? And that's an interesting question to ponder, because if I understand it right, as I was looking through the notes from the book, I mean, he stopped building tractors in, what, 1928, I believe, Neil?
Yeah, he essentially took production. So in 1925, he had 75% market share. He was building 100,000 tractors a year. And then 1928, as his automobile, the Model T, started losing market share, he had some decisions to make and decided to take the assembly line for the Fordson tractor and ship it over to Cork, Ireland. So essentially, almost overnight, he goes from 100,000 machines being built and sold mostly in the United States to shipping in maybe 2,000 or 3,000 a year after 1928. So then all of a sudden IH and Deere are are by far the leaders, and you still have 100 companies fighting for the rest of that market share.
It's just an interesting thing to think about, all in all. I mean, when you look back at history and some of the untold story behind this, you know, there's so much made about, you know, you mentioned it, the Model T and Henry Ford and everything going on, you know, on the automobile side. And I think a lot of folks probably just not aware of some of these tractor wars. And I'd have to think that's part of the reason why you wrote this book, Neil.
Yeah, it was. I often say that the story found me. I didn't go out looking for it. And I was really kind of drawn in by the Henry Ford story. He grew up on the farm. He just thought it was the most noble profession. His son said they lost $100 on every tractor he ever sold. And so he was doing it for all the right reasons, but also turning it into a mass market business. And he very much led the way. He said that farming should be the business of raising food. And that's this kind of title, Birth of Modern Agriculture, comes from that idea, which is farmers are business people. And, you know, they've got to generate a profit. They're not just in it just to grow food. It's a business. And I think that's the major transition that took place during this era, and the tractor led that.
What do you want folks to take away here from our conversation? And I sure hope they go and grab a copy of the book and read it and take a trip down memory lane here and look at this history. What would you really tell folks in terms of the book and what they need to know beforehand going into reading this?
Well, I think this isn't a story of every tractor manufacturer that ever existed, because I didn't want the book to be 5,000 pages long. But really, for me, it's about the personalities. At the end of the day, these are people making decisions. The tractor is introduced in the middle of the First World War. There's a lot of context. There's a lot of pressures. There's this interesting battle between horse farmers and tractor farmers and manufacturers. There's a trust case against International Harvester because they're a monopoly. There's so many fascinating side stories, but at the end of the day, it's about the people involved. It's their perspective, their approach, what they're looking to accomplish. And so that's what I was really drawn into, were these really intimate discussions, these boardroom meetings, where the point of this book is I actually share those conversations. I want people to get to know the people behind the machines.
What was maybe the most interesting piece that you uncovered as you were gathering information and writing the book? I mean, what's one piece of the book that you think really stands out?
I think just how complex these organizations are. And again, going back to the people, like these, we're fortunate that some journals survive, some diaries essentially. And so you have these really intimate discussions. For example, Theo Brown, an engineer at John Deere, who goes to meet with Henry Ford, and Henry Ford says, I want you to build 1 million plows a year to go behind my tractor. And Theo Brown comes back to the Deere board and says, I think Ford's got it wrong. I don't think he's going to be able to do that. I propose we build 100 plows because he doesn't understand the farmer. So there's this really intimate portrait about how do you understand customers that really comes out during this era that I was really just drawn to.
Well, it sounds like a great read. I know I'm going to have to pick up a copy myself and take a look at things. I know folks can find it online. Tractor Wars, John Deere, Henry Ford, International Harvester, and the Birth of Modern Agriculture. Author and manager of Archives and History at John Deere, Neil Dahlstrom. Neil, really appreciate you joining us on the show today. We're up against the clock, but thanks again for the insight into the book, and we'll look forward to talking again in the future.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Neil Dahlstrom with us here again. Wall Street Journal called Tractor Wars a superb history of the tractor in this long forgotten period of capitalism in U.S. agriculture. It's a number one bestseller. Definitely worth the read if you are into tractor and agriculture history.
Coming up next on AOA, we're going to have a conversation with Missouri Farm Bureau President Garrett Hawkins. He'll join us next on Agriculture of America.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Get on board.
The water is open. It's time to go boating and fishing and leave stress in our wake. Feel the wind as we ride and a fish on the line. Reel in our first catch and feel the sun at our backs. It's get out on the water season. It's time to get on board. Find out where to get on board near you. Visit Take Me Fishing and Discover Boating to learn more. And please recreate responsibly.
Get on board. Get on board.
Sanctions. Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Milk markets were lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk down 6 to 1709, September down 18 to 1734, October down 11 to 1793, November down 6 at 1813. Live and feeder cattle markets once again with triple digit gains and contract highs, as it's all about the fundamentals. Strong demand and low supply of cattle continue to have live and feeder cattle markets continue to move higher. Hog markets moved up mostly higher as well. A big jump in the cash hog market helping to support hogs on the day. August live cattle up 335 to 233.07. August feeder cattle up 275 to 338.95. August hogs were down 22 cents to 107.02. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets were higher on short covering, but soybeans and wheat all were mostly lower. There's strong crop condition ratings, adequate soil moisture in most areas, and a favorable two-week forecast as well. And that favorable weather even will help with that spring wheat harvest that is getting underway. New crop corn up 1 1/4 to 4.12 1/4. Meanwhile, August beans down 14 to 9.67 3/4, while new crop down 13 and 3/4 to 9.95 3/4. Chicago wheat, September down 6 to 5.23 3/4. Minneapolis wheat, September down 1/4 to 5.77 1/4.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
You've got so much glorious summer to fill. What are you going to do with it? Easy answer, do it your way at MOA. Do it up with Nickelodeon Universe's Ultimate Summer Party, Dora's 25th Anniversary Celebration, slimy fun events and hair-raising rides. Do Crayola Experience for the littlest ones. And here's a bright idea. Do it smart with MOA Attraction Bundles and the no-worries 72 degrees and sunny forecast every day. That's your summer, your way at MOA. Mallofamerica.com.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back as we continue here today on AOA. Joining us now for a conversation, friend of the show, president of the Missouri Farm Bureau, Garrett Hawkins. Garrett, how are you, sir? It's good to talk with you again.
It's great to be with you, Jesse. I think the last time I was on, our good friend Mike Adams was filling in for you. That was a blast.
I was going to say, I think that was the last time. I was on a little bit of a family vacation, and so I was happy that you two could connect, because I know you two go way back, and I'd say you and I are working on that friendship as well here over the years.
We are well on our way, Jesse.
we are well on our way. Hey, I need the details real quick. What are you seeing for crop conditions across the state of Missouri? Can you give us any updates?
You know, after... It's been an interesting year, as every year, right? We have had a lot of moisture, at least in the southern half of Missouri, or at least in the area that I'm in. You know, corn started out looking pretty yellow, but, you know, July, we have been hot, hot, hot. Crops are looking really good now and coming right along. People are still trying to catch up on hay season. Just, you know, you've been blessed with rain this year after 2 years of drought. And so ponds are full. We've had grass. Hay season, you know, we've had to really try to make the most of these windows. But, you know, overall, it's been a good summer.
You know, a lot of the posts on social media have been about these pollination problems in corn. Have you actually seen or heard of any of those in the state?
You know, no one has brought that to my attention. But again, there, it wouldn't surprise me if there may be some issues in a few places. But I think overall, the corn crop is looking pretty darn good.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to be watching as things develop, especially as we get into the month of August and race that calendar towards harvest season. We got to talk about the Grain Belt Express. Now, this is something that you and I have discussed a couple of times, and we've followed this for quite some time. And I know that last week the Energy Department said it has terminated a $4.9 billion loan guarantee to the company behind this transmission line that I know has been a very contentious item, not only in Missouri, but really across the Midwest, Garrett.
You're right. And so the news from the Department of Energy last week certainly was welcome news. This was a conditional loan guarantee that was pushed out the door by the Biden administration in its final few weeks in office, actually after the November election. And Senator Hawley, as well as our state attorney general, Andrew Bailey, and us, others had flagged this as really just yet another boondoggle and use of taxpayer dollars for this pie-in-the-sky green energy project. So that was welcome news. But, you know, Jesse, to go back in time, this is a decade-long fight over private property rights in Missouri and other states that really at the heart of the matter is a private for-profit company that is using the power of eminent domain to condemn and take farmers and landowners' property to simply profit on their backs for decades to come. And we just believe that that is flat out wrong.
And as I've been reading more about this in the last week, it sounds like reports are that the company behind the Grain Belt Express, even with this conditional loan being pulled from the Department of Energy, it sounds like they're still looking to continue on with the project, Garrett.
Yeah, that's what the company is saying publicly. You know, again, Invenergy has projects all around the world. You know, I'll acknowledge that. But certainly this is one that, you know, Invenergy wasn't the original developer, right? It was originally developed by Clean Line out of Texas a decade ago. And then Invenergy acquired the project a few years ago, basically. But this started as this conversation in Missouri and other states started as, hey, we're going to come into your state. We're going to build this merchant transmission line. You're not going to receive any power or benefit, but we're going to use your property and profit off of your backs to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars for years to come. That's where this conversation started. Now, eventually, in order to get a certificate of convenience and necessity to proceed from a regulatory standpoint in Missouri, They did eventually agree to drop a little bit of power into the state. But still, this is an ongoing battle over private property rights. And really, at the heart of it is the use of eminent domain for private gain.
We're talking with Missouri Farm Bureau President Garrett Hawkins. And to that point, this is the eminent domain conversation is one that not just on this project, but we've seen it across the upper Midwest with the carbon pipeline issue. We've seen it in other cases as well. This is, to your point, an ongoing problem, an ongoing issue. And, you know, I think about this Grain Belt Express, for instance, Garrett. I mean, you know, this could cut through the middle of farms, the middle of ranches, you know, and essentially cut things in half and disturb some of this land that is important to farmers and ranchers. And again, to your point, you know, infringe on private property rights.
I mean, the fact of the matter is the grid that we enjoy today has been built on the backs in large part of farmers and ranchers. And that was necessary years ago in order to get electricity to the farmer ranch, right? I mean, that was the whole movement of rural electrification. And farmers and ranchers understood the importance of that build-out. But now, as our nation undergoes the greatest transformation in power generation and transmission that we have ever seen, you know, when experts project that we need a sevenfold increase in transmission capacity, where is that going to fall? And so that's why we are trying to elevate this conversation for people to recognize that farmers and ranchers, as well as private landowners, shouldn't just be trampled on and seen as a means to house infrastructure. They should be looked at as partners and should be respected in these conversations. And that's what's missing, not just in Missouri, but around the country. You know, farmers and landowners not only have to house this infrastructure, they have to look at, live with, and work around this infrastructure for the rest of their lives as well as their kids' lives. And I think it is past due for elected and public officials to recognize that we should not be trampled on. And as a means, especially in this case, just for people to profit on our landowners' backs. It's just wrong.
And I would think for producers at this point, it's a matter of speaking up and having your voice heard and working with groups such as Missouri Farm Bureau and others to make sure that folks in power understand what's behind all of this.
That's right. And, you know, I want to give a huge shout out to our Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins. You know, everywhere she goes, she is championing the importance of saving America's farms and ranches, and she is specifically helping stand alongside the Henry family in New Jersey, whose farm has been targeted for condemnation for the ultimate construction of a housing development. And the secretary has been all over it, certifying it as prime farmland and doing everything she can from her leadership post to point out this egregious trampling of private property rights. And I've had the chance to visit with her to start the conversation about how do we elevate the important conversation of eminent domain reform across this country.
Final 2 minutes here. I know, of course, we saw with the One Big Beautiful Bill, some of those pieces in there for agriculture related to the farm bill, but we still got to get the rest of the farm bill across the finish line. The talk is maybe this fall. What are you hearing from leaders on Capitol Hill, Garrett?
Well, I'm hearing the same thing, and certainly as we visit with our congressional delegation over the August recess, we're going to be talking about that and about the importance of finishing the job, right? We certainly are grateful that important provisions from the Farm Bill were included in the reconciliation package, but We are by no means done from addressing the egregious Prop 12 in California to other important investments that are made through the Farm Bill. It's just important that Congress finishes the job, and we're going to continue to press that, as well as continue to talk about all of the important provisions that were in the One Big Beautiful Bill. You know, for once, we have permanency when it comes to estate tax exemption. That alone is huge from a standpoint of how many years we have been working on for certainty when it comes to the death tax exemption. So there are some key things that we're going to be talking about at the state fair and other events with our members of Congress.
And I'm sure, I know you mentioned the state fair, always such a big event across Missouri, and it's an important one for you and the Farm Bureau folks, isn't it?
It is. We still have the best value on the Missouri State Fairgrounds. For a quarter, people can come in and get an ice cold cup of white or chocolate milk, and as well as take in some really great displays this year as we talk about the value of Farm Bureau and talk about health plans and our mission to offer affordable health coverage to our members. There are just a lot of exciting things, and I just can't wait to open the doors here in just a few days.
Yeah, coming up here as we get into August, and we always appreciate the conversation. Folks can go to mofb.org for more. Garrett Hawkins, president of the Missouri Farm Bureau, good to have you join us on AOA, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, Jesse. Take care.
Garrett Hawkins with the Missouri Farm Bureau joining us here on AOA. Coming up next, we're going to discuss and celebrate 30 years of innovation and commitment to agriculture in the Northern Plains. Peterson Farms Seed celebrating 30 years in 2025. We'll talk with founder Carl Peterson coming up next on AOA.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-885-9700. 800-885-9700. That's 800-885-9700.
The success you've already had matters at University of Maryland Global Campus because we're a school for real life. An accredited state university, UMGC lets you earn up to 90 credits toward a bachelor's for prior learning and relevant life and work experience, or transfer up to 12 credits toward a master's. We offer affordable tuition and online and hybrid courses. Classes start August 13th. Apply now and save with no application fee. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Lanny went to college and racked up huge debt.
A little bit over $100,000.
For a degree he couldn't use? Now what?
I had a friend that went to my computer career.
They even helped him get hired immediately after graduation.
One of the things I love about IT is that you can work from anywhere you want.
You could become an IT pro in just months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI, with zero experience at mycomputercareer.edu.
It worked for me, and I know it can work for you.
This is one student's experience. Individual results vary.
Scott from Pentatonix. So from the beginning of our journey in music, the foundation has been music education. It's so incredibly important that we continue to show kids the importance of music in our schools, in our homes, and even in the car. Music is such a powerful expression of emotion and individuality, and we are responsible for keeping the love for music alive. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. 800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
My neighbor invited me to a Wounded Warrior Project event. I didn't know what to expect, but it felt like everyone understood me. We got each other. So I got more involved. I joined support groups with other women warriors, and it helped me realize a new purpose in my life.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post 9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, it's a commitment to agriculture across the Northern Plains that goes back decades. Peterson Farm Seed celebrating 30 years in 2025, and it's highlighted by a celebration happening on their farm in Prosper, North Dakota. Here to tell us more about that and talk about the last 30 years and what lies ahead, Carl Peterson joins us here today. Carl, it is great to connect with you again. Hope all is well.
Absolutely. All is well, and great to connect with you.
Well, again, celebrating 30 years, quite a milestone for Peterson Farm Seed. Just give us your thoughts as you look back and reflect on the last 30 years, Carl.
Oh, sure. You know what? We've had a lot of fun, and, you know, it's just been great. We started out, you know, just on the farm selling a little bit of seed to our, you know, close neighbors, and, you know, we're still selling seed to pretty much our neighbors. It just now that our neighbors happen to come to three states and allowed us to become the largest independent seed company part of the country. It's been a great run.
Well, and thinking about the run that you guys have had serving growers across Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and I know really when you and Julie started the company, it was kind of born out of the aftermath of the 80s farm crisis, and it was a tough time in the early 90s in the Red River Valley, wasn't it?
Well, it sure was. You know, honestly, our initial result of the SCAB crisis in 1993 when, many of us around and remember that, but they, you know, the newspapers are full of articles about, are we going to get this wheat to a sanitary or a hazardous landfill? And that's when I got started. But very quickly we recognized that, you know, that's not really what seed is about. And the ability to serve the farmer and the farmer's needs really is kind of where it went.
Well, talk about today and all the growth that you've seen and remaining a family-owned, independent company. What are your thoughts on where agriculture is today and how you guys have evolved as a company?
Sure. We started out selling some public varieties, very quickly pivoted into private licensed soybeans. Then, you know, a few years later, we added corn. Now we've added wheat, and we're experimenting with other crops. Here's how I look at it. When I was 15... nobody was growing any corn in our region. Sunflowers had not really taken off. Canola hadn't even been invented yet. And wheat was kind of king. There was still some summer fallow. If you fast forward now with soybeans and corn expanding, agriculture looks completely different than it did 35, 40 years ago. And, you know, we recognize that if you think agriculture 34 years from now is going to look the same. That's just not what's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to look like, but as a company, we're looking forward to see what those kind of things might be. And we feel really good about how we're positioned because we have relationships with all the breeding companies, all the trait developers. We have the largest research organization for this kind of work in this region, with plots all across the region. So we're able to explore those things, work with those breeders and trait providers to find the niche products that work in our region. So, you know, we don't spend a lot of time looking back. Sure, you know, you have a 30-year anniversary. You do think about, you know, hey, remember when we did this? Remember when we did that? But really the focus for us is and always has been on what's next. That's just kind of how we're wired personally, and that's how we're wired as a company. So it's pretty exciting times.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, looking ahead is so important. And with the way agriculture continues to evolve, you know, not only across the Northern Plains, but across the country and around the world, you know, thinking ahead the next 5 to 10 years, there's been so much of, you know, a boom in technology and so many different things and new varieties, et cetera, et cetera. So to your point, obviously the next 5 to 10 years ahead could be a very important time for agriculture, right, Carl?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, some of the things that are coming up pretty exciting, we are excited to be on the cutting edge of working with, now we don't do the CRISPR gene editing ourselves, but working with companies that do. So we have like 100 potential new soybean varieties out in the field this year that have been gene edited specifically to increase yield. You know, most of those won't make the cut, but we expect to be selling that kind of a product in the next couple years anyway. New soybean traits coming along, of course, with weed resistance continuing to evolve. We need to stay on the front side of that. And we also think there's going to be more opportunities for specialty grains, right? Our grain system with, you know, unit trains and crushing plants and ethanol plants is really designed for, you know, efficient movement of mass quantities of undifferentiated products. And as people become a little more demanding in their food, that provides opportunities for, you know, maybe it's a specialty kind of a wheat or, you know, soybean oil with a different profile. So we're working in those areas as well.
Well, we should mention, as I know, 30 years again, you guys are celebrating that Wednesday evening. Tell us a little bit about the details for that celebration, partying like it's 1995 a little bit, Carl.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're going to, I mean, if you're going to have a party, you got to have food, right? And, you know, something to, some beverages of various kinds. And we've got a band and, you know, we don't have a big program. We're not going to stand around and go, oh, yeah, remember back when? No, we're not doing that. We're celebrating 30 years. But also, you know, I kind of look at it as a launch of the next 30 years. And I'm an old guy, right? So, you know, next 30 years, I won't be around for all of that. But we're building the team that will carry the company forward because we do want to remain independent. We're one of the few totally and completely independent companies left in this part of the country, in this industry. And I think there's a need for that, and it feels pretty good.
Well, Carl, any other final thoughts you would share with us about 30 years of Peterson Farm Seed?
You know, the only thing I would say about 30 years at Peterson Farm Seed is we're just getting started, and we're excited about the future. And, you know, it's great to have a conversation about it.
Well, we appreciate the time. Folks can learn more as well. PetersonFarmsSeed.com and that anniversary party happening Wednesday night at Peterson Farm Seed in Prosper, North Dakota. Carl Peterson, good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Love to do it.
Once again, Carl Peterson with Peterson Farms Seed. That's going to do it for today's AOA. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to get another preview of the Farm Progress Show with Matt Youngman. We'll talk with Dwayne Stately, the president of the National Pork Producers Council, and more. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more
here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Helping your inner circle prepare for emergencies can start in many ways. Put together an emergency kit with Wipol. Create a family communication plan with your tita. Remind Bai to keep a backup battery charged. It all starts with a simple step, telling those you care about to be ready for the worst. So start a conversation and plan for emergencies together. Get more tips at ready.gov/start. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog, and I need you to help me take a bite out of crime. Another teenager fell victim to fake pills. Smells like big crime that needs to be stopped. Where are these pills coming from, and how are kids getting them?
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Great news. Familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and in Colorado, a jury has convicted Dennis James Craig in the murder of his wife, Angela, in 2023.
We, the jury, unanimously and beyond a reasonable doubt, find the defendant, James Craig, guilty